With a touch of the flu, and I'm kinda skeptical of what he told me to do. He said that I should lock myself inside my room for a year, shut my non-essential business down and cower in fear. I said, Doc, I don't know, that seems so out of line. Give it 3, maybe 4 days, I bet I'll be fine. He said, no, you must not, you must wait for the shot. Everybody's gotta get it or society stops. I said, Doc, I don't know, is that all really true? Shots are brand new, they ain't fully approved. He said, no, you can trust us, it's the latest in science. Never mind the people dying, just give up your compliance. I said, Doc, you must have me mistaken with someone pliable. I can't trust you if none of these companies are liable. So I'm gonna stay the course like a one-way road. Take your vaccine and shove it, I'ma just say no.
Here we go, folks. It's time now for the General Knowledge Podcast, Season 5, Episode 17. Just joined with a guest today. No, my compatriots are not available for this week's one, but I've thrown a lasso around. Mr. Kraz, Adam from the Kraz Files, is joining me for a bit of a chat, a bit of a rant today, just to punch out a pod for the folks out there. So yeah, I appreciate him sparing some time with me today. It's a Tuesday. I've actually got the day off today because the Ute's getting the breaks done, so I couldn't work today. I thought, oh, it's a good day to, we'll just sit down with Adam if he's available, and we'll do a show. And here he is. How you going, man? Thanks for coming on.
All right, mate. All good.
Yeah, it's good.
In the day, so as I said, I'm I can't lube myself up with some alcohol, and so
yes.
I'll have a strong coffee, and I've had to jump on the mobile phone. Apologies for that. I do like to use my desktop. We were just talking about space before, that I don't have it, you know, at the moment. And I'm trying to do what I can with family and everything is a bit hard. And
yeah, that's crazy.
I'd prefer to jump on the phone than have too much noise going on in the background. It's just too distracting. And for the listeners, it's horrible. And it comes out quite loud. My speaker's quite strong. So I'll jump on the phone if that's all right, buddy.
Yeah, mate, it's coming through fine. So I know you said you had some problems connecting with people on your mobile phone, but mate, no issues at the moment. It's loud and clear right now. But if anything happens, I'll let you know. But so far, so good.
I bought I went and got a good headset for the phone, a Sennheiser one. So to do podcasts when I need to. Sometimes I jump on in the day like this. If we organise a time, I can get on. So that's cool.
Yeah, nice. That's good. Mate, I tell you what though, are you seriously paying like that? What you said in rent for your place down there in Sydney?
This rent here is pretty good at $1,000 a week.
Fuck.
Nearly $1,000, but yeah, I know some families that are around the area on the northern beaches, and they'd be paying $1,400 to $1,600.
Wow.
Like just for a small weatherboard home, like 3 bedrooms or so. Yeah. Like this is the thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I was just reading on an article the other day in Sydney's west as well, like west of Sydney, like places that's up out towards Sydney Airport and beyond, that's getting expensive too, and it's always been pretty cheap. But the younger people now, they can't afford it, like the down payment alone, and the rents. And so then I hear they're moving out, a lot of moving to Gold Coast, Queensland, moving to rural kind of country areas and towns that are pretty bustling as the migrants move in. But my question was, how the bloody hell are migrants affording rental costs if locals can't or people can't and they've got to move out? But
I'm pretty sure migrants get like that community housing scheme stuff. So not only do they get a house straight away or whatever, but I'm pretty sure it's cheaper for them too.
Mm. There is a trial now happening in Sydney where they've got something going on in Sydney now where they're building these little stack and pack apartments that you'll never own. So they're built to be rented out forever, you know? It's like this Klaus Schwab sort of thing in this agenda 2030 system. You won't own anything. But, you know, that's the way it's going. Around here, it's only because I grew up here. on the northern beaches of Sydney, you know, I was growing up here in the 70s and 80s, and even I did get pushed out. It's hard to get pushed out of where you grew up because it just becomes out of reach. And, you know, we got in a little bit earlier and got a flat, and that helped. But, you know, most kids now, like after uni, when they're going to uni or finish school or their HSC or something, I think they're just all staying home. They're all at home.
They're so heavily indebted. Kind of full shit.
They're in debt as well, but I if you go around here and look around, there's a lot of renovations. So I was reading, you know, it's really the baby boomers, you know, your grandparents and into the baby boomers who bought homes and who are set up and don't owe anything really. They've paid off their mortgage, so they're able to add on now and have the kids at home, and they're just staying at home. 20s, 30s, I don't know, but. It's brutal how you can dig up 800. I mean, it's I have friends who rent just 2-bedroom units, and it could be, you know, 600-700 a week just for a unit now, you know. And I mean, a general job and your petrol and, you know, just your living expenses.
Cost
and
of living is exactly. How much is the shopping bill going up and up each time you go?
It's hard.
Because Danielle does the shopping, and I look at it like, you know, I'll look at the what she spent and stuff, and, you know, transfer money over and shit. And I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, it's getting expensive. I get home, she's like, it was so expensive today. I'm like, far out, what'd you get? And it's like, she's like, the same shit I always pretty much get. And I'm like, yeah. Like, she just notices, like, you know, she'll get dog food and it's gone up, you know, 50 cents than it was a month ago. And then, but it's like that. It's incrementally, everything around is going up. There's little bits incrementally. But there's nothing to justify that rise in that price, really. It's just gouging all the time. And then before you know it, you're paying an extra $30 in your grocery bill. And you're man, that's crazy.
It's a lot. And you know, the power company just send us letters that they're putting up our gas and electricity. First was the electricity, and now they're saying they're putting up the gas through AGL. Don't worry, you don't have to do anything. Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. Yeah, that's great.
Just pay it.
Yeah, and we're gonna blame Ukraine, a country on the other side of the world. I mean, Australia's gas reserves and everything. What does that have to do with us? But you don't do anything. Sit in your chair, Mr. Johnson. You'll be Kate. We'll organize your new plan for you. We're gonna jack up the prices for no fucking reason.
Yeah,
you know, so our energy costs, boy, when I look at what they used to be, and water as well, and just everything, they really hit you. They really hit you when they come in. And we try not to use too much energy, but it's cold here in Sydney, so we use a bit of gas. But they're jacking up everything using Ukraine as an excuse, which is outrageous that they're allowed.
It is. It's got nothing to do with us. It's got the energy from over there has got nothing to do with us here at all. We don't get any energy from over there. Ours comes from Asia. Like Southeast Asia and stuff is where our oil comes from and all that sort of shit. Like, it's got nothing to do with us over there. It's so ridiculous. It's just an excuse to jack up the price.
Yeah, like everything. Yeah, and a lot of people I know, they're going to Aldi now, and they're watching their money. They're watching everything. It is hard. Mm. Every week you've got to go and do the shopping for everybody in it. And just the other day, having a laugh to myself, filling up the petrol, you know, you just... I counted just in seconds, it's $10, you know, like you'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's 10, 20, 30, 40, 50.
Yeah.
It's so fast. And you would know that as well with your business and your big car and all your tools and just needing petrol a lot and to stop. It's pretty expensive as well.
The only good thing is that I can at least claim all fuel and vehicle expenses.
On your business,
I can claim all of that as a business expense, which is good. So it brings my my deductible income down or whatever, you know. So
it's hard, mate.
How's your sorry?
You I was go. Just going to say, General, it's hard because people shouldn't have to run away from where they live. You know, people running away from Sydney isn't going to fix the problem, and bringing in migrants is going to make it worse.
Yeah,
it's sad to see same thing happened to families Victoria leaving. Too. You know. Yeah, it's a
massive
sad thing in Australia.
From Victoria,
We have a massive country, huge resources. There's no problem with everybody being fed and housed in this country, you know. This shouldn't be happening, but it's all engineered. It's all done by design, you know. And they're squeezing us, and that's what's happening, you know.
Yeah. Setting up for the new agenda of getting us into the smart cities so that you don't need to own anything. Why would you need to own a car when everything's provided for you? Why would you never need to own anything? You know, you can rent your food, you can have things, you can rent your vehicle if you need to, you know, like call up an electric car to be delivered to your house and you can use it for the day. And you can, you know, go to the gym that's in your own building that you live in. You can then go into the, you know, to the pool that's at the same building that you live in, and all these things. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to be this. You won't need to go anywhere. There's a cinema. There's a shopping complex. It's all in the same building and complex and stuff that you live in. That's what they're aiming for. So you don't need to go anywhere. You know, it's less carbon footprint from driving a vehicle and all that sort of bullshit. While the elite fly around in their private planes and all that sort of crap. Like, it's just so ridiculous. I don't know how people can buy it. So many of my clients I've noticed, mate, are buying electric cars. And it's, oh, here's something funny too. It's fucking hilarious, right? This older couple, they're a lovely couple, beautiful couple. They're in their 70s. Very fit. Like, they go on, like, you know, treks around Mount Cutha near Brisbane. They've been down to Tasmania to do treks and all this sort of stuff. Very fit couple, you know. They're always out walking. Anyway, they bought them. They've got a Subaru Outlander or something. Anyway, it's like a four-wheel drive Subaru. It now just sits in their garage and they don't use it because they went and bought themselves an SUV, another SUV, but this time a full electric Volvo. And they were, when I first saw him in it, I was like, oh, they were like, yeah, it's really good. Oh, they really like, oh, it's quiet and this and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm just sort of nodding along, you know, yeah, righto. And then the complaints started, right? So they can't, they've got a very, quite a steep driveway. So there's that many sensors on this fucking car, and that if it detects something, it stops. It just stops. Like, the brakes kick in, and you just fucking jar to a stop. It's a safety feature, right? So if someone, if a kid runs out in front of you, the brakes will hit before you can hit the brakes. You know what I mean? It detects it for you. It acts quicker than you and all this sort of bullshit, right? But because they've got this steep, because they've got this steep driveway, they can't reverse down the driveway like a normal person. Like, you would just go straight down, and then it's in like a cul-de-sac too. So then they just sort of curve around and then they'd go normally in their other car. Because this thing's got sensors all over it, they get towards the bottom of the driveway and the car just stops because it thinks it thinks there's something behind it. It's just the ground, and it stops. So they have to go back up. They've got to change their angle, come down a different angle. And because their driveway is lined with vegetation and trees, it detects the trees too. So it stops, and they've got to go up at another angle and try and get there. It takes them like 5 minutes to get out of their driveway. And then when they're going into their driveway, they go up the driveway into the garage, and the garage door is open, and the back of their garage, so they've got like this, like, imagine a wall, and then it's got like a bulkhead that would sort of be sort of maybe a little bit level with where the windscreen is, and then it would go up to the ceiling. So it's about a foot wide. So, you know, there's like a bit of a space they've created for the nose of the car to go into the garage, right? But because this bulkhead's there and the wall's there, they go towards it, and they've got to go pretty close to the wall, right? No. Fucking Volvo. This thing stops them from going all the way in their driveways, and it stops. The car literally just stops dead. And he has to turn the car off, turn the car on, disable some sensor thing, then try and park the car. He has to do this every time he goes into the in his own garage, because this stupid electric car has got too many safety features, basically, that it's just ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, they're not allowing you to think for yourself and to, you know, they're trying to take it away, the human element away from these things as well. But, you know, and yet in their garage next to this car is this beautiful SUV Subaru, which they don't drive anymore because, you know, it's not electric. Fucking so stupid. It's so dumb. Oh, I just shake my head when they tell me these stories. I'm like, well, you just fucking wasted like 60 grand on this stupid vehicle, which you didn't need. This old couple now has two SUVs. One of them gives them the shits. They're persisting with it because they've paid the money. Oh, man, it's just fucking stupid. So funny.
They want to feel like they're doing the right thing, I guess, you know. Exactly. They're being sucker punched.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. It's this, yeah. Anyone who goes and buys, and I've got other clients, more of them now. Like I said, I've got another one that's, they have two Teslas now. They previously had one. Now they've got two Teslas. Another one who's the neighbor of this client I was just talking about, they've got one Tesla and now an electric Volvo as well, but it's a hybrid, so it's a plug-in hybrid, but they still plug it in. Another client who's just got new solar panels put on their roof and then a new charging station so they can charge their car, you know, when they're home during the day, which he goes out during the day. So, you know, like, when are you going to charge it, champion? Because it's unless you've got a battery on the house, it ain't going to be charging the car at nighttime, you know, like... Yeah, they're wasting all this money, all this. They're thinking they're doing the green thing, you know. Oh, yeah, we're saving the planet, reduce our carbon footprint, blah, blah, blah. No, you've just been swindled. You idiots have been swindled. Yep. It's just, it's laughable. It's just laughable.
They got them all here now as well. There's those Tesla ones, and they all got the same looking car. It's these white ones.
There's no real variety, eh? They look exactly the same, all of them.
They look the same. They got like a big iPad thing at the front. That's great for them, but I was saying on a Nightwatch podcast, I fucking hate them because you can't hear them. They're gonna kill someone. Like they go past. You can't hear these things. But that's the way it is, you know. And I was making fun of them on one of the shows the other night because they go down to the they got those new cars and the electric ones, and then they go down to the coffee shops on their electric scooter in the morning and they take their own mugs, you know, and it's like, oh, for God's sakes, you know, you're going to take your own fucking mug to a coffee shop. Can't you just pour some boiling water and a spoon of coffee at home? You have to go down on an electric scooter with Ugg boots on or thongs and
but they're
slacks.
Saving the planet. They're saving the planet, that's what because, they think, you know. Yeah. They're taking their own mugs, so it's saving the world. Never mind the lithium that got mined to have the battery in that fucking scooter, but you know.
But they think that just buying one of those cars, they're doing their bit.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about the other night, like Anastasia Palaszczuk, you know, she's destroying, butchering, you know, magnificent untouched old growth forest in the wet tropics in Queensland
When you mentioned it in your last show, I hadn't actually seen it. I forgot to look that up too. That's crazy. I'll have to find an article and link it in the show notes as well.
This is this is right where the wet tropics World Heritage is, and they're bulldozing it and just shoving it everywhere. It's just, you can't believe it. To put wind farm in, wind turbines.
It's absolutely insane.
So they're destroying the planet to save it. And then that's what we'll talk about, these batteries for them as well. They've got to dig them up. They've got to put roads in because they've got to get in. They're destroying the whole place. And this is why I was saying with the 5G as well. It started with those towers. You know, they put those towers there and people thought, oh, is this it? Now look at it. These panels are going everywhere. And it's the same with the cars. You buy an electric car now, these stations to charge them are going everywhere. It never ends with this stuff. You know? It never ends. And none of us asked for it. You know, we had the ABN here. I'm happy. It's copper cabling under the ground. Fucking leave it. I don't want 5G, but no. They just keep pushing and pushing with this stuff, and it's utter rubbish.
So invasive.
But I think these families, they think that they're doing their bit. Okay, I've bought this. I remember it started with the Prius, like the Toyota Prius kind of. That was the training one that came in, and people started getting that because they thought it was greener. You know, but
and I'll be honest here, I'm not 100% because Toyota, I believe, has probably done it right because they don't plug in. You don't plug in a Prius. You don't plug in most or any of the Toyota electric/hybrid vehicles. They're not plug in. They just charge as you drive it. Like, you know, I mean, so it'll use fuel and a normal electric engine, you know, to charge while it's driving. So you never have to plug them in. Whereas all the other ones, a lot of them are the plug-in ones, and they're the issue because then they've got battery storage. Boy. Whereas the hybrid ones are different; they're made differently. I think it's actually a better design, to be honest, because they don't have all this, you know, massive battery storage and all that sort of shit.
Plus they can catch on fire with the salt.
What
are you going to do on the coast?
Exactly.
What's the life of that? And did they explain that when you bought it, if you live near the coast with the salt air? Because things rust everywhere here. It's a rusty place. You know, it's like, so that's a problem as well. It's funny you were talking about the sensors because, I mean, our car's like 2019 and it's got a few of those, but I was backing up a driveway the other week and as you were saying, and it was kind of slim, but it was beeping and popping and beeping everywhere, you know. But the other week I was driving and I think I was going a little bit too fast and a car was too close in front and the car stopped and the battery, the brake, it just locked. And I didn't know I had that in this car. So that's just
For now.
Yeah. I didn't know I had that. And I was like, oh, I thought the car was stuffed. And it waited a fair few seconds, and then it couldn't turn it on or anything. It just, the whole thing shut down in the middle of the road.
I understand how that's safe. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
Like, to me, that's not safe at all. You're removing the control from humans. You know, like I know there's plenty of bad drivers out there, and that's what they're, you know. So their answer to bad drivers is, well, let's take away the power of the driving and give it to a computer. Whereas, well, maybe they, instead of doing that, they should just make people more competent drivers, you know, put them through more rigorous testing and, you know, make them actually work to get a license and learn to drive. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. I'm probably ignorant. I remember this was ages ago. We went away on a trip and I hired a car. It was like a Equinox, like a Holden Equinox, European sort of very fancy. And it's one of those things that every time you stop or slow down at the lights, the engine shuts down and it restarts. And, you know, like those. And I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I'm like, what's going on with this thing? So every time you stop at the light, the engine turns off. And I'm like, something happened. I'm sitting there at the lights. You saw this crazy guy in the car. And then it goes again. And
I remember sort of like, Mercedes had that out about probably 10, maybe about 8 years ago. I first saw that Mercedes bring them out. Yeah, it stops the engine from running, but it's kind of still running at the same time. So as soon as you touch your foot on the accelerator, you hear the engine, you know, turn over and it turns back on.
Yeah, it restarts. Yeah. You can hear it all at the traffic lights.
Because that's a European thing, because all European cars had to have that come in like 15 years ago or something. So they were the first ones to do that. Mm.
Yeah, it's funny. Not all cars have it.
I was sharing some things on Twitter and I've got a few things on what I've been sharing on Twitter lately that we'll go over for the show here. But this one, just because we're talking about, you know, this climate stuff, you know, really is what it all comes down to. But someone made a really good comment and they said, climate change has nothing to do with the climate. It's about deindustrialization and controlling/limiting the options and freedom of the Western world. It was invented by the Club of Rome by commission in the 1970s. In 2010... I sat and read the leaked ClimateGate emails. They admitted it was fake then. It's still fake now. It's all bullshit. Started as global cooling, changed to global warming. Now it's climate change. Now they can't lose. It gets warmer, they win. It gets cooler, they win again. Any change proves their argument. By the way, want to know what the universities and scientists mentioned being the biggest cause of climate change in the ClimateGate emails I read? Volcanoes. They also admitted fiddling the supercomputers that they were using to manipulate the results, essentially to make sure they could give the desired results to those funding them in order to get continued funding. So, yeah, basically that's what they were saying. And they admit, you know, everyone knows, one volcanic eruption puts out more carbon dioxide into the climate than mankind has ever done in history. And yet they don't consider that to be part of, you know, any of the climate altering type of shit that goes on. They don't take volcanoes into consideration. You know what I mean? As that they are altering anything to do with the climate itself, because they don't, to be honest. It's just part of a natural event on our planet. But yeah, I like the other good point they make is, you know, this came out in those ClimateGate emails it was the East Anglican University in the US or in the UK or wherever it was. And, it was all exposed that they were basically fudging the data to get the desired results. And, you know, that kind of went by the wayside many years ago. And yet they're still continuing the lie to this day. And this is where it all steamrolls to, because the UN Agenda 21 and 2030 and all the shit that the WF is going on about now and all these things that we're signed on to, these Paris agreements, the Kyoto fucking protocol, all this sort of stuff, is all to do with stopping these emissions that humans are doing and going for this net zero bullshit. And it really is all based on fraud. The whole thing is based on fraud, and yet no one seems to bring it back to that point. You know what I mean? And there's so many so many, like Ian Plimmer, Australian scientist who's like a climate professional, whatever he is, climate scientist. You know, even he's come out so many times saying that it's all bullshit. Like CO2 does not cause climate change. You know, it's like you can't put the cart before the horse, because they're like saying, well, yeah, if you look at all the ice core samples that they had throughout the years, whenever there was a temperature change, CO2 came behind it, not in front of it. You know what I mean? So CO2 didn't lead to the climate, any changes in the climate or the atmosphere. It was always afterwards. So it shoots them in the foot right there. It's all provable nonsense that carbon dioxide is the enemy. It's so ridiculous. There's plenty of other enemies and plenty. I'm not denying that there are industrial pollutants and stuff. I mean, look at these, the forever chemicals that are out now, and the dioxins and all that sort of stuff. That is like man-made climate catastrophe stuff, is the poisoning, the literal poisoning of our planet, our air, our waterways, and all that sort of shit. You know, that is the climate catastrophe, if you want to call it a climate catastrophe. I would rather just call it an environmental catastrophe, because that's actually what it is. But yeah, that's the shit that people need to be focusing on, not carbon fucking dioxide, which we need to survive, and that this planet needs to survive and grow food. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's insane, mate. It's insane. But you know, if you go back to Al Gore, An Inconvenient Truth.
Well, again, also proven to be bullshit.
They're going to the same places that he said would be gone, and there's more ice now, you know. And
yeah, there's more polar bears.
Yeah, I love the aerial view of his properties with the, you know, like I said, and all these cars and stuff. But it is, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, these guys, they tear it to. It's being torn to pieces, but the system don't care about that, because it's part of their agenda. Just, you know, it's part of the Agenda 2030 system. So that's why I keep saying they're going ahead no matter what. And I think we were discussing with Jason Woodforth a little bit on the shows, like, and this is definitely, we were discussing this over a couple of years, how they've been changing the wording in the news and the on the TV news. You know, suddenly just a bit of rain, they started calling it a rain bomb. A tsunami in the sky.
Change the visuals. Remember when they changed the visuals? They showed you those pictures from 5 years ago. They showed you a European summer, and they had, you know, happy suns showing the temperature, and then they showed you it from this year or from 2022 or whatever, and it's all red, and you know, there's red covering everything, and it's, oh, the temperatures are so bad, look at all this red showing the heat, and yet the temperatures were actually lower than it was previously, and there was no hype over it then. So it's so ridiculous. You're right, it's this massive attempt to try and control the minds of the public through this manipulation, full on.
Yeah, through the weather, that's not changed at all, but the public think that it has.
That's
and
right.
They're making that up in their mind. So yeah, it's just conjuring up this from nothing. But because of some of the fires around the world now, highly suspicious, of course. But now they're saying, now they're calling it global boiling. Global boiling.
Yeah.
I mean, how ridiculous is this getting? And we saw with the European summer last year, with the you put them up as well with the weather reports. How they, you said that, they have it all in red.
Yeah,
and it's all like that now. But there's nothing there. But I think I looking at Canada, you know, you've got we don't know. I mean, you know, I have had discussions about this. With some folks who are in California, and they said they're always saying that there's these bad fires. But I mean, unless you're there, I mean, who knows if there is or isn't. We know we got them in Australia, and it looks like Greece and other parts and Canada do. But you know, this is just Justin Trudeau proving his hoax global warming point, and they're going to use it to the cows come home, man. But you know, when you got these fires in parts of Canada like that, where you never get them, and they're trying to say it's all heating up, it's bullshit, you know. They're just trying to scare people. But you know, the media really are hammering this, especially, and it's really intensified after this COVID stuff. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger with the language and what they're saying now, you know. And it's all about fear. It isn't actually happening.
Well, have a look at your screen now, if you can have a look at your screen. I've done a screen share here. This is the image we're talking about. I've got this up for the video for the members. France. It's got a picture of, is it France? No, Germany. That's Germany. Sorry, not France. What am I saying? And look at the temperatures from 2017. Can you see the screen at all there, mate, at all?
Yeah. It's little, but I got it. Yep, I'll just
You see what I mean? That's the image we're referring to. Yeah, so you've got know, all the way at the top there, 26, all the way at the bottom, it was in the 30s, and yet look at the red they've put on there. The temperatures are lower. The temperatures are lower for the same date, the same time of year, 5 years apart, lower temperatures, but look at the scary graphics with all the red showing, it's all red. Pure manipulation. And if someone didn't point that out to the stupid masses, they would probably believe that and think, oh, look at it. Oh, it's scary. And it puts that in the back of their mind that, wow, maybe this climate change thing is real. Look at the sun. Yeah, these guys know what they're talking about. They're meteorologists, you know. Fucking idiots.
It's the same pattern, General, but they did it with a virus. You know, they made people believe that there was a virus out there to get them, and they went and got jabbed and did all sorts of crazy things based on a hoax, based on a boogeyman, a lie, an absolute lie. There never was any virus, never will be. There's nothing there, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they look at how people did. So it's the same system. It's the same. They did it with 9/11, but you know, like I'm just talking about the same pattern. They made you think that the Arabs, you know, that were coming in. They go bomb everyone. It's just the same system the media use
terrorism,
all throughout history.
All that stuff.
Isn't it funny how the climate's going to get you? The virus is going to get you. You know?
Isn't it funny how terrorism has just disappeared? No terrorists around anymore. Gone. No terrorism.
Where's the Nakatomi building and terrorism? Bruce Willis? He's got. We need him back. Nakatomi and Bruce Willis. Yeah. Welcome to the party, pal.
Terrorists. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, all that's gone. I did a 9/11 piece the other night just to break down some parts that are not discussed. This is looking at the Israeli involvement in the 9/11 attacks. Just specifically, but yeah, I was saying, because people have been asking me, where are all the conspiracies gone? No one talks about it anymore. And during COVID, you know, with the lockdowns, there was nothing. There weren't any, just as we know, there weren't, your seasonal flu was even gone. No one had anything. There was no cancer or people being admitted for a broken arm or anything. It was just COVID. That's all it was for that time until they were finished, that operation, you know. Nothing else in the world existed. It all just vanished, you know. It's unbelievable. So these are the discrepancies and crazy things I love to keep bringing up, to keep reminding people. And I think we should keep discussing it and make sure we get it to people, because it's insane.
It's funny that, and you're right, you do. It feels like sometimes we do harp on about these things, but we kind of have to remember there are new listeners coming on board all the time. You know, there's people who may have only just started their journey into this kind of waking up to what's really going on, and they haven't clued into some of that stuff yet. And while, sometimes some people might find it repetitive, I actually enjoy a bit of those kind of flashbacks into, remember that part of 9/11, or remember talking about this, or remember how we talked about, that, or the banks, or, money's, all that sort of stuff, and, fractional reserve lending or whatever, people don't really realize that stuff sometimes, but, it is good to have that refresh in your own mind so that the information comes a bit more quicker to hand, when you need to recall some of that sort of stuff as well. So, don't ever stop going back and rehashing some of those things, because it's definitely necessary.
People are posting them on Twitter. It's really funny, Michael Gunner and these ones, flashbacks to what they were doing, because people forget soon with the sports on and everything. But
absolutely,
it's crazy, what they did. It is. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about the I was talking the other night on the podcast about the questioning that we're seeing of the big pharma reps, and Pfizer.
Yes, I had a video. My God. I've been following Malcolm Roberts and Senator Jared Rennick as well. And this one I wanted to bring up with you as well, because I wasn't sure if you'd talked about this one, because it's fairly new. But Senator Rennick said, today, Labor and the Greens voted against holding a royal commission into the government handling of COVID-19. This is despite Albanese saying he would hold a royal commission and Senator Gallagher saying an inquiry should be held. When the coalition was in power, there was an ongoing Senate inquiry into COVID that Labor pushed for. Yet now that they are in power, they don't want to analyze the government overreach. That this just proves that Labor were more than happy to weaponize COVID to gain power and didn't actually care about the people. That's what Senator Jared Rennick put up. And well done to him for continuing on with this and putting them in the spotlight over this nonsense. It's good to see he's not taking his boot off their throat. You know, he's really going for it, which is good. And seems to be doing whatever he can to highlight all this and to try and get shit done, even though he ultimately, I believe, will probably be unsuccessful. But at least he's putting a spotlight on it. So there you go. There's a video. I've shared that on our Twitter. I am at, for anyone listening to, it's at Real News Oz, A-U-S, all one word, Real News Oz, A-U-S, if you want to follow me at Twitter there. That's where a lot of these things go up as well. Yeah, you're right. There's been a few good ones. I think I even shared some of those Malcolm Robert ones that you were also talking about, because he's really been going at the throat of these Pfizer execs, hasn't he? How good's that been?
It's unbelievable. And I think one of the listeners did send me all the video links to that because I do want to post them because it has made world news. I do say this, that, you know, we're in a good position in Australia, you know, if you look at New Zealand, Canada and many other countries. I've spoken to some Europeans and they said, believe me, you know, like it's better here because I go back home and people are just, they're gone. And it doesn't feel like there's any hope. But here there's a lot of fight, you know. And it's not just the building of what we're doing, but we have good people in government. We have good senators and we have people. And mind you, we know they're trying to push Rennick out. This will only expose them more. But these guys, we do need to support. But these questioning Senate hearings are unbelievable and they're making world news. And I've been picking them up on a lot of big websites overseas because they're like, holy shit, look at this in Australia. And I found that. I found the Alex Antich one incredible as well, that the Moderna guy couldn't answer a simple question that he was there to do about the adverse events related to the Moderna mRNA shots compared to, say, the general flu shots or whatever he didn't know. And then Antich just gave up. But And also the Malcolm Roberts one was astonishing. Really, we know that, but to hear these Pfizer guys saying that they actually shipped in their own different batches for their employees than what other Australians got was so. This is Pfizer executives basically admitting in a Senate hearing that they and their workers who work for them got different doses of the Pfizer mRNA shots than what the public got. And I think it's unbelievable. Plus other questioning under Roberts, they basically said these are contracts with the Australian government that we're not going to tell you. So what they've done is they've done these dirty deals with ScoMo, is one of them, and they've locked it all up, you know?
Yeah,
and they're going to lock it all up. Yeah, like they did Port Arthur. And they're going to lock it up for 90 years, you know? And we won't be able to get into it. That's the worry.
Yeah. And then whoever gets in next, or when it's coming to expire, we'll extend it again. But we need
to keep pushing. Yeah.
Let me. Sorry, I've just played it by accident. All right, I'll put that on the screen for the members here, just so they can hear this. I'll play this along. If you want me 1 second here? Try and sync this up. Here we go.
That your vaccine mandate was using your own batch of vaccine, especially imported for Pfizer, which was not tested by the TGA. Is that correct?
Senator, so Pfizer undertook to import a batch of vaccine specifically for the employee vaccination program.
Read that your
there you
vaccine
go.
Mandate...
There it is. God. That's the Pfizer execs insane. There admitting, yeah, like you said. They got their own special version. And remember this.
That anywhere in the world, General. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. Well, we have, right? We have. But let's cast your mind back to this one, okay? Now, I think the video itself, I believe, is in, like, Polish. So, hang on, let me just quickly check. Yeah, so you can't understand what she's saying in Polish, but there is subtitles. So, I'll play it for the members, and I'll I'll just read what she's saying as well. So, because you will remember this when I when you see it.
So look.
Okay, so here we go. I'll read what she's saying. It's on the screen too. If you want to look at your phone, you'll be able to see what this is. All right, here we go. So it says, this vaccine they're using now, people who are getting it, there is 30% of placebo from this vaccine. And so you don't know if you got the placebo. Don't be so sure that you got Johnson's. Don't be sure that you have got the AstraZeneca, even if you ask for a bottle. They can just bring you that bottle that you ask for, but it's not necessary that you were vaccinated with it. This is not happening everywhere, but this is some of the information that I'm getting from the colleagues from Slovenia. There we go. So she's from Slovenia. That this is also happening. She goes on to say, that's why they started now. If you are vaccinated with one, you can also be vaccinated with the other one, and so on and so on. But you will never know what you've got. But there is also a difference. I don't know if anyone is vaccinated here. Basically, those who get the card and gets the sticker, there are three numbers on there, 1, 2, and 3. Those who get the placebo, remember, this is the number on it. It is only number 1. And she's got a picture of it on the screen there. It shows someone's got their European Union vaccination ID on their phone, and there is it's got the few details of the letters and then a number 3, right? So we'll continue on here. Oh, that one's got a number 1, sorry, not a 3. Not 2 and not 3. That's what she goes on to say. Just so you know, but it is like, I'm sorry, someone asked a question. Do they know who they give the placebo? They know, but you don't know. From now on, you know. They were counting on for everyone to get vaccinated. And it's got an image of someone in Parliament. I don't know if there's any, let me just see if there's any sound with this one. Okay, this is English. All right, so let me just, I'll just find the right spot for this one because this is in English, this little bit here. Hang on. 122. In 1 second, I've just got it here. Okay.
I'm grateful for the Honourable Member's question, Mr. Speaker. On the Novavax trial participants, they will have their vaccine pass in the United Kingdom, and of course we're working with other countries to make sure that that is recognised. But as far as the UK is concerned, they will be considered as fully vaccinated whether they've had the placebo or the vaccine. On a very good question.
So there we go. So yeah, that was also that little bit there, but that was that nurse, and I've got, if you hopefully I was, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm still screen sharing that. Oop. Yeah, so.
I'm glad you played that placebo one because I was looking for that on one show. I didn't have it in front of me, but there you
right.
go. He admits the placebo, whether you've had it or not, you'll still be considered jabbed. They have to, it has to be like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there we go. So that nurse, so it says more information on that one here. It says the head. Scandal in Slovenia. The head nurse of the University Medical Center in Ljubljana, which takes care of receiving the vaccine bottles, resigned today. She went in front of the cameras and took out the vaccine bottles. She showed people the codes on the bottles where each contains 1, 2, or 3 digits in the code and then explained the meaning of those numbers. Number 1 is placebo, saline. Number 2 is mRNA. Number 3 is mRNA and oncogene, a mutated gene that triggers the development of cancer. People who receive it will develop soft tissue cancer within 2 years. She says that she personally witnessed all the politicians and tycoons receiving the number 1 vial, that's the placebo, for their vaccine. So they all received the saline solution. There you go. So that, remember, that came out, a year or two ago when that originally sort of first came out. Yeah, that was doing the rounds there. So I just wanted to, again, like we talked about, just refreshing that in people's minds in case it kind of went by the wayside. But yeah, there you go. That's what they were doing.
That,
they were
that Malcolm Roberts one with the Pfizer guys, but that's a big one. Because we knew it and people suspected it and you had all that, but that's a Senate hearing in Australia where they are openly admitting they got different doses.
Yeah.
That's a really strong point. Like that they're willing to say that is, and what's the general public who got those going to think about that? Or will they even notice that? It's just insane.
Well, I would like to know. I would love to know what digit was on those ones. I bet you they all had number one for their own staff. Would have all been placebos for their staff, you know. But, yeah, that came out in December 4th, 2021. So, yeah, two years ago, based, or 1.5 years ago when that Slovenian nurse came out to expose that. So this stuff's been coming out for a while. A bit of a rehash there, I know, but just wanted to refresh the folks. There was another good video with was it Senator Rennick or Malcolm Roberts? Hang on. Pfizer gets grilled. Senator Rennick, here we go. This is a good one as well. Sorry, just excuse me. It plays it on my... I got so annoying. I have to play the audio on my phone and the video on Skype because I can't share audio on Skype on the Mac. It's really
annoying. No, it's the sounds dry.
The vaccine was designed to actually stop or prevent infection.
Come on, you fuck. Here we go. It's going to start straight away, but there we go.
Hi, guys. How are you going? I note that you've already stated today that the vaccine was designed to actually stop or prevent infection. And this was also reiterated by your CEO, Albert Bourla, on the 2nd of April 2021, where he posted a tweet, and I'll quote, "Excited to share that updated analysis from our phase 3 study showed that our COVID-19 vaccine was 100% effective in preventing COVID-19 cases. Now, by September 2022, Australia had recorded 10 million cases of COVID, despite having an adult population vaccinated to the tune of 95%. Given those real-world figures in Australia, do you still stand by that statement you've just said today to Senator Canavan, that the vaccine was effective in preventing infection?"
Senator, we strongly believe and we reiterate that the vaccine is safe and effective for its intended use. What changed was that the virus evolved. If we look at the clinical data from before the virus mutated into Delta, Omicron and subsequent variants, the vaccine maintained high levels of efficacy. If we look at the six-month data from the pivotal trial, efficacy for prevention of serious...
Sorry, I'm not referring to trials. I'm referring to the fact. I'm referring to the Omicron variant, and that's a product of the nature of the vaccine, where you have actually designed a vaccine that's an epitope on one spike protein and not the other 28 proteins in the vaccine. So that's a design fault of yours, the fact that it can't cope with other variants, because that's the nature of the way you've designed that vaccine.
Senator, I categorically reject your statement. The vaccine was carefully designed against the virus that was prevalent at the time, which was the original wild-type virus, and it remained highly effective against preventing illness and preventing severe
thank disease. You. Can you define highly effective in terms of a duration?
Senator, when the wild-type virus was prevalent, efficacy of greater than 90% was maintained at 6 months for both overall illnesses and severe disease.
Because the TGA non-clinical report on the Pfizer vaccine said that antibodies and T-cells in monkeys declined quickly after 5 weeks after the second dose of the vaccine. So the best we've got here in animal studies was 5 weeks. 35 days, a little bit over a month. So why are you saying 6 months when animal studies showed 5 weeks and in human studies you cut them short after 2 months?
Senator, the human immune system doesn't rely on antibodies alone. Antibodies provide short-term protection against infection. T-cell and other immune responses, which are a little bit more difficult to measure, provide longer-lasting protection.
Well, maybe you didn't hear what I just said. It said, however, antibodies and T-cells decline quickly after 5 weeks. That's what the TGA Pfizer non-clinical report said, 5 weeks.
Senator, it is very difficult to measure the totality of the immune system's responses against the infection. What we need to rely on...
Well, okay, then. So if that's the case, sorry.
Just Senator Regan, Dr. Theroux, just finish his answer. Are you finished, Dr. Threw? Yeah. I mean, by all means, if you've got something else to say, say it, but then I'll go to back to Senator Rennie.
Yeah, just one more comment. What we then need to look to is clinical outcomes. And it's very clear that even with the Omicron variant, with a virus that's now quite different to the original virus, that efficacy against, in particular, severe disease, hospitalisation, and people not surviving is maintained for significant durations.
I'm referring to infection, because for the bulk of the people, half the country was infected with COVID 10 months after. And for healthy working age people, working age population, their risk from COVID was very low. So I'm putting in the context here that these people were forced to take a vaccine that you said, and you've said today, was effective in preventing infection. And that's not the real world data. The real world data showed that almost 50% of the population, despite being vaccinated twice, if not three times, caught COVID. And you've just said it's very difficult to measure the duration. So are you going to retract the statement that the vaccine was effective? Because you've basically contradicted yourself already.
Senator, the virus had approval for the prevention of infection, for the prevention of severe disease and the prevention of hospitalisation. Despite the fact that the virus had evolved, had mutated significantly, vaccination remained significantly effective against severe disease and hospitalisation for prolonged periods.
Okay, I'll move on to safety. Thank you.
May I say something? I actually reject your statement that people were forced to take the vaccine.
Well, that's not... Okay, we'll deal with that later. That's not your decision, so that's not to do with today. Okay.
There you go. Now... I know we, of course, have a lot of issue with the acknowledgement of said virus and all that sort of shit. But it is good to see once again, though, that Rennick is sitting there, holding them over the coals, basically saying, "Well, you come out in the beginning saying it's 100% effective against this and this, and yet the TGA studies here said five weeks at the most." That they were protected for, and yet you guys are saying 6 months. Like he caught him out in a contradiction, and yet they still won't admit it. Like they've already contradicted themselves in that actual statement, and yet they still won't admit it. It's just so full on, oh fucking hell. There's another. There's one more I wanted to play as well, but we'll do that. I'll do that in a moment after we've just commented on that one. But there you go. Yeah, just wanted to let you know that senator, like who we were talking about before, Mr. Jared Rennick, who's out there dragging these fuckers over the coals, just like Malcolm Roberts is, because no one else appears to be doing that, do they?
Yeah,
too scared, probably.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of problems there, because they're building on something that's not there. So it's the whole thing about the virus. It's nonsense. So it's like, and I can see this just going on forever, and what would you expect from these pharma people anyway? I mean, they're so low. Of course he's going to say that, at the time when we forced it on everyone, told you that was
the
all and end all and would save your life. Only for a few months, and then the virus changed. So that's what they're doing. That's what they're
It's not our fault.
Saying now they're just going to keep moving the goalposts.
It's not our fault.
But the other thing, the other one that I found interesting too. There's a couple. There's one with Pauline Hanson. And I was bringing this up on the Night Watch as well, and I just found that incredible. I think it was the Alex Vantage one where the guy from Moderna, he didn't know about studies, he didn't know anything, and there's actually a section in that video where he's being asked about adverse events, and he actually goes like like that, and I brought that up the other night, how incredible it is to see that. Look at what we went through here in 21, in the winter of 21, like what they did to people, and now you've got these guys like a clown up there, and it's people are going to be really shocked at seeing that. But the interesting one was with the Pauline Hanson, because she's got one of these wigs on, and she's asking him, about it being mandatory, and he says, no, I don't think that anyone was forced. And I've been bringing this up as well, and I think it's a real hard one. I think this is going to be a battle line. But I said, and people probably won't like me for it, but it is true. We were not forced. That's assault.
We weren't. Yeah.
And I think they knew that, General.
Yes, we were put between a rock and a hard place. People were made to have a very, very, very hard decision to make. But inevitably, it was their decision to go and get that injection in their arm. They could have gone, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to go and find something else and live my life my own way. And I'm not going to have that in my arm. You know, you can't tell me I have to, you know. Or you could just turn up to work and go.
Physically forced.
Yeah, like you have. I would be like, well, you have to fire me. You have to pay me severance now. You have to fire me. You know, if I'm not going to have that jab on my arm, you have to fire me. Pay my severance because I'm not having that. You know, I'm not going to be forced to take a medical injection. You know, so. And before we move on to
it's a big one that's coming. Yeah,
it is. But before we move on to where things are going, because you know we're about 2 years on now from when those mandates started coming out, aren't we? You're right. It was around 2021 where they were telling everyone they had to get these jabs. You know. Because it was overseas first, you know, it was in the 2020s and in like the US and stuff. And then by the time it sort of got here, everyone was like, where's the vaccine? We need the vaccine. We want the vaccine. You know, all these idiots were saying they wanted it, but it took so long to roll it out here and all that sort of shit. But now we're about 2 years on from when that rollout happened. And we're starting to pay the price for it now with, you know, in terms of the damage being done. And that's when I wanted to play this little video. This is the next one I wanted to make sure people can see. I'm going to make sure my screen's still sharing here. I don't know why. It looks like it's not sharing. So I'm just going to stop the share and then reshare so I can have it up on the screen. Here we go. It's come up now. All right. So I'm going to play this one too. This only goes for about 2 minutes. This is another Malcolm Roberts one here, talking about the excess deaths as a result. So here we go.
Around, I think you were suggesting that there was a wiping or a removal of deaths that have been reported. I think it's important to note, as I was saying previously, that there are a number of reasons why we encourage adverse event reporting, but why the numbers that come through to our database of adverse event notification are not and should not be taken on face value as an indication that there
doctors are charged with the responsibility of writing out a death certificate, signing it. They know the cause. There were close to 1,000 of them, but they've been wiped by the TGA. And in a review without objective criteria, down to 14. How can you justify that?
Well, I don't think that it's accurate for you to characterise. Well, sorry, I'm
doctors reported deaths.
Appreciate the determination of the cause of death is a coronial activity. I don't know, Dr. Pengilly, if you'd like to reflect on.
I won't reflect on the
certificate. So, how many of these have gone to the coroner?
So, just following this, and so I have to go to the senator.
How many have gone to the coroner?
Sorry,
am I answering this again?
Yeah, if you could answer that.
So, look, I won't answer the question regarding the thousand reports, but I think the issue Professor Lawler is making is that because they get a report, and obviously if a report of somebody has died, they have died, what we're actually trying to do is then determine whether that is actually related to the vaccine or to any product. And that is a determination which has to be made by further examination of the circumstances, temporality, whether there are other causes. And that means that a large number of the reports eventually are found not to be associated. And there are a whole range of criteria which you can use for those. I won't go into them, but we can provide more information on.
Could you put it on notice? I want to know the objective criteria you use for changing a doctor's report who knows the patient.
Changing a doctor's report.
Doctor reported death, and you're not attributed.
We're not
attributed to a vaccine.
Well, Senator, with respect, we're not saying the patient didn't die.
I didn't say that. You're misleading.
Well, I'm accurately reflecting that we've been changing doctors.
We're happy to take that one. However,
I want the objective criteria by which you change a doctor's reported death due to a vaccine back fact and not associated with
vaccine. We're very happy to provide the Senator with information on the process that is followed.
Thank you.
Following the report of the death following vaccination.
Thanks, Professor Law. Appreciate
that. You've got these doctors are there saying, all these professors are there saying that doctors are over 1,000 reports of death from the vaccine came in from doctors where the doctors were saying, yep, the vaccine caused this death. And the TGA went and changed almost all of them except for 14 to say that, no, it wasn't the vaccine on any of those, only 14 of them. So that it made the vaccine look super safe and there was no issues at all. And yet we know that that number of 1,000 is way more than that. I reckon you could probably add another 20 to that, actually, if not more, because we're seeing the results, like I mentioned before. We are now 2 years on starting to see so many more stories in the mainstream media, you know, friends and family members and, you know, third parties that we come across. You know, I think I mentioned on one of my shows before, I was talking to one of my clients. He has two cousins, both in their 50s, both very fit guys who both are dead now from heart attacks. And he was like, yeah, I'm a bit worried myself. I'm like, well, you fucking should be, because I know you're 100% jabbed up as well, because his wife's a bloody pharmacist. I'm thinking probably only a matter of time before he goes too, and he's a fit guy too. He goes out, you know, running and walking all the time as well. And he's lost two cousins because of it, who are also both fit, healthy guys. You know what I mean? Like, and I can't unequivocally say it's the vaccine, but we know in our hearts and we know in our back of our mind. I mean, of course it is. Like, if these guys didn't get the shot, they'd probably still be here today. You know what I mean? Fit people, fit, healthy people don't just drop dead all of a sudden. You know, this whole died suddenly thing. People, it's still trending. It's still a thing on, even on Twitter. If you actually search for it, I follow a died suddenly page, and it's incredible the amount of stories that come out because of all of this died suddenly stuff. It's full on. But there you go, mate. That's what they're doing. They're changing the data. And again, we've seen another example of another senator, Malcolm Roberts, again, you know, putting these people over the coals and saying, you know, this isn't good enough. You lied to us. You fucked around with us. And they, you know, the people want an answer. You know? It's good to see, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, what's your opinion, General? I've been bringing this up as well, that it happens so fast if you look at Operation COVID Shield. I think, you know, most Australians were just not prepared for this. We were, and our listeners, because we study it, we research it, we're aware. Awareness is the key. And we knew this was coming, and we tracked it every step of the way. But for general people, it happened really quick.
Mm. We were scared really
when they bought in this general fruin. It was fast. It was fast. They got jabs in arms quick. That was that winter, and bang, like it was really.
What did we see? We saw so many videos. I think you were sharing stuff of, you know, walking past those vaccination centers that popped up all over the place with, you know, lines going down the street of all these morons lining up, you know, sitting under power lines on their phones or waiting for their jabs, all wearing masks. You know, like, remember the lines at Bunnings, get your free sausage with a vaccine. You know, like, fucking hell, they just hoodwink so many people with stuff, you know.
They do, yeah. What we have here is a delayed reaction, you know. It's a delayed reaction, and now we're starting to see. And this is just something I've been covering, and we saw it. There was teachers and people who lost their jobs trying to go through the courts, and the judges were tossing it out, and that was easy for them in the moment. But I do feel that as it's going to become overwhelming, and the questions are going to intensify, and I think the damages, the illness, and the suffering and the death in people, we just see another class action coming up with 500 people, and yes. They're trying to cover it, and they're trying to cover over all of this, and the media have been trying to cover it like they've always done. But I think into next year and the next few years, it's going to become overwhelming. How are they going to cover this as more people come out here? I don't know. I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be more and more intense. It, you know, buckle up.
Well, there's one more I wanted to show as well, just with regards to what we've just been listening to with, you know, Malcolm Roberts and Jared Rennick interviewing those Pfizer representatives. Here's a good one, all right? So this is bombshell. Pfizer executive admits that the mRNA COVID vaccines were not tested to stop transmission of the virus before being rolled out to the public. They lied. The media lied. Never forget. So here we go. Let's little stroll down memory lane for this one here.
Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market. If not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? And I really want a straight answer, yes or no, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunisation before it entered the market? No. We had to really...
Was the Pfizer COVID...
So that was it. That was it. So it was the European Union Parliament. And you had a Pfizer representative there basically say, no, we didn't know. So they just admitted right there in European Parliament under questioning that they didn't know. And yet you have these other representatives who, even more recently saying, yes, we tested it. We knew that it did this. And like, seriously, it all just unravels. But the reason why I wanted to basically bring all this up, mate, is because back in May when you were actually on the show last, it was Thursday, May 11th, you joined Andy and Ethan and I for a show then. We had a really good time. And one of the things we played during the end of that episode was that the COVID narrative is unraveling. And, you know, I played that video of former federal treasurer Peter Costello coming out saying that our response to COVID was a massive overreach. You know what I mean? So back then, we sort of started to see that. It is unraveling, you know what I mean? There was more of these high-profile people coming out saying these things, and now we're at the stage now we're seeing these people brought in and questioned, you know, in Senate hearings and stuff. So it has definitely accelerated. People aren't letting this go, you know what I mean? The people who have lost loved ones and, you know, who had died suddenly because of these shots, they're not forgetting. They're not getting over this, and it's good to see that they're going for the throat. You know what I mean? And then they're not going to relent until they get them. Well, hopefully, but get these people behind bars. But at the very least, I guess maybe some sort of compensation or an admission that they did wrong or something. You know what I mean? Because it is starting to unravel. We're seeing it more and more. All these little bits of information coming out more and more that it's unraveling right in front of our eyes. So yeah, there you go.
That's right. You got to ask yourself, you know, wouldn't they already know that this? Wouldn't they be already prepared that this was going to happen? You can't just do that and then just jab billions of people and then expect nothing to happen. I mean, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing like this has ever happened in human history. I mean, there's been other times in history where there's been big vaccination programs, Spanish flu and stuff based on propaganda and scaring people to get the jabs in their arms based on nothing or covering up, you know, symptoms people may be having from whatever it may be. But, you know, this is huge. I mean, this is different. This is technology never been put into people before. It's a massive global experiment. And you got to wonder, you know, like we're going to really see here, you know, it's going to go on for years and years and years of just trying to question these guys. And will we get anywhere? Because, you know, will we see these people bloody hang from their necks or it's just going to go on or they think people are going to forget about it, you know? People are getting injuries and it's growing.
Yes.
It's growing and growing and growing. And as you said as well with the cancer, I'm noticing that as well, which is people that I'm meeting saying that their loved ones and that have cancer. And I'm also meeting a lot of people they had cancer at one point in their life that's come back worse. And they believe it's after the booster. But how are they going to prove it? But they're not happy about it. They're upset about it. And then, it's a crazy time to be alive, mate.
Well, Jesus, but this doesn't really give me any hope, right? Because, and again, I have to bring this up as well, though, right? So you would think with all of this starting to come out now with regards to how dodgy these vaccine companies like Pfizer and all this sort of stuff are, you know, the damage that they've caused, they know they've lied, they're being caught out lying, all this stuff, right? But here we go. So there's a headline from the Children's Health Defense, right? Despite 12 deaths during the clinical trials, the CDC signs off on a RSV vaccine for newborns. So 12 babies died during the trials, but hey, let's go ahead and approve it 10-0 anyway. So they had 10 votes on it. All 10 voted to pass it, despite 12 babies dying during the trials. These people are murderers. Again, this is a tweet I shared on Twitter. This is really too bad, and it seems to be a part of the Department of Health and Human Services scare tactics recently regarding RSV, which is generally a mild infection that finds its origin during the development of the polio vaccine. The efficacy of the antibodies from clinical trials is woefully low, and the circulating half-life of such therapeutic may be as low as 2 weeks. I'm also worried about the allergic reactions in newborns, especially given the high dose of antibodies and especially given that 12 infants died in the experimental arm of the clinical trial. So I remember when I talked about, you probably heard me mention this ages ago. Remember that, I'm going to bring it up again, just for the listeners out there, any new listeners who maybe didn't hear me say it before. But Adam, do you remember when the Takata airbag scandal happened? Remember that? Thousands, millions of cars around the world have the Takata airbag, the Japanese manufactured airbag in the car. Many, many, many different makes and models of vehicles had those airbags. Worldwide recall. Bring those in. You know, they are killing people. They are harming people. You have to bring them in. We have to change them over. You know, if you have an accident, this thing could kill you before the actual damage from the accident kills you. You know, bits of shrapnel going through people's head, blah, blah, blah. Remember, do you remember how many people I said died globally? Globally, how many people died from these airbags before they did the recall? Do you remember? This is verifiable.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't much, but I don't remember the number now.
22. 22 people died worldwide because of these airbags, and it was a global recall. And yet, look at this. We've got 12 babies dying in the clinical trial of this new RSV vaccine, and yet it's approved anyway. Just in the trial. Imagine if they saw that people, like the dummies, were suffering shrapnel when they were testing these airbags in those crash tests. They wouldn't have ever been approved. They would have been like, nah, these things, there's shrapnel going everywhere. It's going through mannequin heads. You know, like, nah, we can't approve these. We need to work on it. It wouldn't have been approved. And yet, look at this. We got 12 babies die in a trial, and yet it's approved. Like, this is the state of where things are at. It's so ridiculous. You know what I mean? So, again, I have to draw that similarity with the airbags, with a global recall because 22 people died, and then look how many people died because of the COVID-19 vaccine. It's in the millions now. Millions of people worldwide. And yet nothing. No recalls. Roll up your sleeve. Get your boosters. And on it goes. It's so sad, mate.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. I had to bring that up.
Yeah.
I know again I rehash things, but if I don't bring them up, like I said, we do have to go over some of these things again just to refresh it for the listeners.
Yeah, that's right. You shake your head in disbelief.
Yeah. And how's this, right? So we sit there and we talk about what's doing the damage. And, you know, obviously we've talked about and we've heard about the graphene oxide in these things causing the damage, right? So graphene in the body does we're now finding out how much harm it does, right? Because this is the next phase of what we need to sort of quickly talk about here. So we're at that point where like, oh, what's causing all the damage? It's the shots. Well, what's specifically in the shots? Well, then we saw a lot of independent reviews happening, you know, independent scientists and stuff coming out saying, yep, look at this stuff in the vaccines. Look what's in these vials. Look what it does to people afterwards. look at the magnetic, you know, people have then started having magnetic properties, like around the injection site, they could stick, you know, put something metal on their arm and it would stay there because they become magnetic. Like, what's causing that? Well, we know what's now causing that. It's actually because of the graphene oxide, the graphene basically that's in these shots. So here's a good one for this is from an InfoWars one, but I think it's an excellent video nonetheless. So I will play that one as well, because this is the next part of the there's more. There's a reason why I want you to hear this, right? And for listeners to see this, right? There's a good reason for this. But let's have a quick listen to this one.
The Fifth Column recently published their findings and conclusions on the strange self-assembling nanotech they discovered in the Pfizer mRNA vaccines via optical microscopy analysis. The objects they found in the vaccine correspond with known items in the scientific record, and the conclusion they come to seems quite clear, that the well-documented scientific goal to use nanotechnology in living human beings to form networks capable of controlling several nanomachines is currently being deployed in the COVID-19 vaccines, which amounts to the most intrusive assault against humanity in all of recorded history. While the media and government lie and cover for Big Pharma, the official ingredients are still unknown. But we have thousands of brilliant scientists worldwide studying these experimental vaccines. Some have died in highly suspicious ways, but most have been able to share their findings. And the work shows us that graphene oxide is a key component in all of this. There have been dozens of official documented studies on the use of graphene oxide related to how we see it being used here today. Among other things, as a power converter, graphene, a one atom thick layer of hexagonally arranged carbon atoms, is the thinnest and strongest material known to man and an outstanding conductor of heat and electricity. It can boost gigahertz frequencies into terahertz, which is exactly what these new nanotech machines need for power. In order to do this, the graphene first needs a frequency to power it. And the optimal frequency to externally power graphene is known to be 26 gigahertz, which is also the frequency put out by 5G. In this model, the graphene within the body is activated by microwave signals in the gigahertz range, which it then boosts into the terahertz range, which then powers the novel nanotech machinery to self-assemble within the human body. Once assembled, what do these nanotech machines do? The images, compared to the scientific literature, suggest that they are the foundation of an internal electronic system with an endless potential for biomanipulation of the human host. Nanorouters that emit MAC addresses, able to be registered via Bluetooth, nano and plasma antennas to amplify signals, nano rectennas acting as rectifier bridges from AC to DC current, codecs and logic gates for encryption of communication. The raw material for all this self-assembly is also graphene oxide. And when we compare known side effects of graphene oxide to the side effects of the COVID-19 vaccines, we find them to be the same. Once graphene oxide is injected into the body, it acquires magnetic properties, predictably around the injection site, the heart, and the brain. Graphene is seen as a pathogen by our immune system and will often result in paralysis and stroke. Graphene is known to cause blood clots and heart conditions. Graphene oxide can generate small discharges, causing cardiac arrhythmia. There is so much going on with these experimental vaccines, and the evidence seems clear that there is a mass experiment going on, with certain batches marked more deadly than others, and with certain batches that contain a bold new technology akin to a man-made parasite intended to control the host human if it doesn't kill them first in the process. Perhaps that is what the mad scientists and psychopaths are after. Human genetics that can withstand this new invasive and deadly nanotech. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Interesting, hey? So that's a good little video there from InfoWars about the graphene oxide in the body, right? And again, there's a reason why I wanted to bring that to people's attention, right? So here we go. Where is it? Milestone contract for graphene technology in water treatment. UK technology business G2O Water Technologies has landed its first commercial contract for the enhancement of water filtration membranes with graphene oxide. Now, that came out in around 2021. Graphene smart membranes can control water. This is from the University of Manchester, July 12, 2018. Researchers at the University of Manchester's National Graphene Institute have achieved long sought-after objective of electronically controlling water flow through membranes, as reported in the Nature Science magazine, Nature Science Journal, Nature. This is the latest exciting membranes development benefiting from the unique properties of graphene. The new research opens up an avenue for developing smart membrane technologies and could revolutionize the field of artificial biological systems, tissue engineering, and filtration. Graphene is capable of forming a tunable filter or even a perfect barrier when dealing with liquids and gases. New smart membranes developed using an inexpensive form of graphene called graphene oxide have been demonstrated to allow precise control of water flow by using an electrical current. The membranes can even be used to completely block water from passing through when required. Now, doesn't that sound a little similar? If that's in your blood system, in your veins, in your body, and this graphene via an electrical current that's perhaps triggered maybe by a cell tower or your phone in your pocket causes, you know, an ability for that to completely block, you know, a vein, for example, or an artery, and forming a clot. Even if it's by accident, you know what I mean? Like, so this stuff is out now. This is what they're trying to do. So this company has started to try and use it in terms of water filtration as well. Imagine if this stuff is then somehow gets into the water supply via that filtration system of some, you know, none of these systems seem to be perfect, of course, but imagine if that just suddenly gets into the water supply and people just start drinking graphene oxide in every glass of water from their tap. Isn't that crazy? If they couldn't inject it into them, maybe they're going to make them swallow it. Who knows? Crazy stuff, eh?
Yeah. Well, I guess it needs to be topped up. We do know that. And looking at that video and some of the guests I've had on and that, I think all of that really makes sense. Mm. Even though it seems like science fiction, but it does. It makes sense.
You're right.
with what they're trying to achieve. Yeah, I mean it's going to go on the food bit, probably, in the food and water and everything. So people just keep getting topped up with it. We don't know where it is. I mean, if the Pfizer jabs, for example, and we know that they've all been tested and they all contain graphene oxide, and you look at the vials of the vaccines, it looks like clear water. I mean, so you can't see it, you don't know it's there. What's stopping them putting it everywhere, spraying on us, you know, putting it in the water and the food supply and everything that we eat, in everything that we touch, and all the packets, everything. And I think this is what we were talking about ages ago, that it's going to be like this. It's going to be used. Like this, you know. So, but then you've got companies who, for example, you know, or companies who don't want that in their products, and they want clean stuff or organics and things like that. They're going to want it out of their food. They're not going to want it either. But, you know, as you said there with the water thing, that is dark territory indeed. If that starts to go in and be injected in like that, you know. I think I was asking Hope and Tavon about the water filtering and how this applies to the water and stuff on an earlier podcast. I found that very interesting, yeah. But that video, yeah, it does – it's scary and it scares people, you know. And so we've got to look at everything, but it makes sense.
Yeah. It's the part
– with what I've studied as well. It won't go away.
Yeah, and the part that's very sort of, well, I guess you would say scary to do with this, because when you look at, apparently, like, graphene is basically just carbon atoms, and it's just the way that they're just structured differently. They're structured in, like, a hexagonal pattern when you look at them under a, you know, microscope or whatever. But it's the fact that graphene is highly conductive to electricity, among other things, you know, like, it's got a lot of special properties. So, I mean, if that sort of stuff is, is getting into the human body. And, you know, you just imagine the leap in technology and the things that they want to do, or the things that could very well be happening right now. You know what I mean? Greg Hunt said it, didn't he? This could be the biggest human experiment in history or whatever, you know, like is part of the experiment learning what graphene oxide does in the human body. I want to know if there's anything more to this, you know, like has DARPA or some of these other advanced research agencies that are wanting to see what happens. I mean, look at, you can't say that it's beyond the realm of possibility, because look at what they did to the human population in America around the birth of the nuclear age and stuff. You know, they were dropping, cadmium, sodium salts or whatever, you know, like radioactive particles. They were dropping these over populations, living populations. They were injecting people with plutonium just to see what it would do to people, and weren't telling the people what they were injecting into them. You know, they were human experimentation. It was happening. It's happened so many times without consent, and they got away with it over and over again. What's stopping them from doing it now with this, with regards to this? What is stopping them? Nothing. They can do this. They can roll it out. They can put it in the vaccines, and we would be none the wiser. Well, there are some people that are wise. You know what I mean? So the ones that say no, like us, we're the wiser ones. But, I mean, who's to know they haven't dumped this on us, you know, like via smart dust, and we haven't breathed it in already. You know what I mean? We just don't know. We have to do... Yeah, we just don't know if we've already got this stuff in us or not, but at least we know we weren't injected with it. That's all I can say. But yeah, scary stuff, mate. That's like right. It's a very interesting technology, and I'm sure it does have a lot of probably good things that it can do. But when you start with in terms of, you know, putting this in human bodies and using it in food and water and all this sort of stuff, that's when you got to draw a line. No. Like, you can't put that in there. I mean, it's. And we could be at the new Roundup age, you know what I mean? This could be the new Roundup. Oh, we'll spray graphene oxide on food. It'll create a barrier so that insects can't get through it, you know? You know, like, it could be something like that they'll think of, let alone, oh, we're going to be eating it, though. We don't know what it does to the human body. That's okay. We'll work it out later. You know, like, come on. Interesting stuff, mate. That's the sort of thing I wanted to just bring to the show and get your thoughts on, mate.
Yeah, I know. And you ask yourself as well, you know, like creating these smart cities where this technology is everywhere and this is in people's bodies, you know, can people be controlled as a hive, what they think and everything, you know? I mean, we just don't know yet what's happening. But, I mean, we do see crazy reactions with people that is very interesting as well. There's a lot of those videos. People say, oh, you know, like they're faked. But there's too many of those videos that you've talked a lot about as well. There was a recent sports one with a tall black guy that falls down. And you see them spinning around and their hands and their toes kind of curling up, and they look like they're being tasered. This is always happening in either sporting arenas or where there's a lot of technology around as well. True. So, you know, I think the experiment is going on, you know. I mean, when if you're jabbed up, and it's happened with the Women's World Cup, there's been some videos going up. We saw these players going down. There was another one the other day. This is happening now in Australia. They're just going down. These girls who are playing football in the Women's World Cup, and we see a lot of this. And this is always not only when they're exerting themselves, but when they're in these arenas where you're getting pumped with 5G and EMF and you know, phones and everything. And there's a reaction possibly taking place where people are being hit or they're testing. Yeah. But this could have happened earlier on in China when people were going down. They could have been testing. We do know that before they said the virus, the COVID came from China, that there was some kind of experiment going on with some type of flu shots and people were going down. So this has been going on, you know. And did they turn on a part of 5G? But there's something to do, because during the lockdowns, the towers went in and then the vaccines went in, and it's all interconnected. There's something with the tech, what's in people, and this is a control thing that's happening. And now you see the smart city and moving people into the smart city. It's something with controlling people through the tech. And as you said, it's good. Yes, I don't think people say that, you know, it can shed, but that's not being injected. There's a difference to breathing in or being around something or drinking things with graphene oxide, for example. I think your body can cope with that. But when you're injected with this stuff directly into your blood,
blood-brain
I think that's obviously
crossing.
Yeah, that's a big one. And not just once, General, but, you know, I know people around me, they've
multiple, four or five times.
Five, you know. But, you know, like, that's the thing. They seem okay. I'm like, holy shit. You know, but, yeah, when you're looking at the symptoms they were talking about there, the blood clotting and, and the you know, the heart and the pulmonary stuff, for the graphene oxide, obvious. We did discuss that. So, yeah, this is the consequences. So maybe they're just... maybe they're just continuing to get till they get it right. I kind of look at it as a singularity thing, where the human beings, people's bodies actually sync with it, or there's a point there where it takes and it connects. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's going to come later. I don't know, but the experiments continue. And I think it was one I was reading the other night about Pfizer buying up companies now that are treating all these different types of cancers and things like that. So that's coming as well. I think, you know, I always discuss that people who have had these jabs and do start to become very sick, and we've seen it, there's no help for them. The doctors don't really know what to do with them, especially if it's heart related. We know a lot of people in the United States now, a large portion of the population just have general heart damage. But they're just giving them pills, and you basically they don't know if they're going to go down, have a heart attack, if they're going to die.
They're
be constantly monitored. They've got to get these ultrasounds all the time. So, you know, what if these vaccine companies suddenly start bringing out new shots that's going to give you some form of life? You know, I think generally people will take that rather than suffering or worrying that they're just going to drop dead at any moment.
So, in that way, the
pharmaceutical corporations. Yeah, they've created a massive industry, no matter what happens, of people who are going to need their support into the future because they're so ill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's something to that. But just before I show that, Ben Swan shared something which I'll go back to in a second. But just with regards to the amount of the deaths we're talking about as well. So this came out from a guy, Jim Ferguson, UK. It says, Dr. Chris Alan Shoemaker in Canada. A shocking revelation, a 20% occurrence of myocarditis proven in those who took the vaccine. 20%, that's 200,000 people per million, right? 50% of those people will die within 5 years. That's a medical fact. That's what this doctor is saying. So 100,000 people per million will die within 5 years because of those shots.
Yep.
So there are people who made... Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a culling. So there you go. In the UK, by the end of August 2022, of those aged 12 years and over, 93.6% had received a first dose and 88% had received two doses, 70% three or more. So the deaths, if this guy's right, the deaths within 5 years from 2022. So by the end of, by 2030, there's going to be, I think, a mass reduction in the population because of these numbers, because of what's happened. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, Bill Gates admits it, doesn't he? Bill Gates admits
Well, what
that.
Did we...
That if you remember, do a good job with the vaccines...
Remember Deagle.com? Remember we talked about years ago, Deagle.com, that website, you know, was showing the statistics and the projections of world populations in every country and how much of the Western world was, you know, cutting their populations in half and stuff because of, well, we don't know why. What they didn't say why their projections were in half, but they projected that all the westernized countries were having their populations halved. Well, now we know why. maybe they were privy to some of this information. But just with regards to what you were mentioning before, Ben Swan put up a good little headline earlier. I've got it just here. Here we go. Pfizer to rake in billions on new cardiovascular drugs treating sudden spike in heart problems around the globe. So there you go. Just what you were saying before. So they're going to, he's written quite succinctly, the arsonists are the firefighters. So there you go. They're the ones starting the fires and then
coming along
to put the fire out. So they're gonna win regardless. Yeah, cause the problems with the vaccine. Here's something to fix the problems from the vaccine. It's just crazy.
Yeah, that they created. That they did. Absolutely. They ruined people's hearts. They ruined people's lives based on nothing, a lie, and now people's health is destroyed. I think it was like nearly, have a look at the stats if you can find them in the US of just heart damage. It's unbelievable.
It's through the roof.
And then now, now they're going to come in. Now they're going to come in with this, see? And they're going to experiment more. They're going to have more jabs and they're going to experiment more on people. But yeah, talk about thinning the herd. Yeah, crazy, man.
And here we go. So, Dr. Eli David put up, Pfizer's study of myocarditis for those who received its COVID boosters is now officially under the status of delayed on the FDA website. The study was supposed to be completed by the end of 2022. What have they found in the study that they're hiding? We all know the answer. There you go. So they were supposed to be doing a study of myocarditis in people who have had these boosters. And they've delayed the study. I bet you because of the fucking results are absolutely through the roof. Just like that other doctor out of Canada was saying, you know, 200,000 per million have this condition now. Fucking hell. There you go. I'll keep it going for days, mate. There's heaps of information they've been sharing. A lot of good information on Twitter. It's all there for the folks.
It's slow too, General. Don't forget that. We know what came out of Canada earlier with the micro blood clotting, which is called, they call it scaffolding. This isn't immediate. Mm. This is, and what we're hearing now from big studies all over the world is it's happening in people's eyes. So they're slowly going blind. The blood clotting in the eyes, but it's so miniature. And this is happening in people's bloodstream.
You're breaking up a bit.
You know, they had this micro blood clotting, but this could come on who knows when. And how's these bodybuilders that have been dying as well? And the bodybuilder, the guy, maybe a French guy, and he had the damage that the jabs caused and what they had to do, he underwent with his blood, you know, I mean, in an interview.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's dead.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, and he regretted taking it. He said he was convinced, like he was pushed into taking it by his doctors and stuff, and he didn't want to take it, but he ended up taking it. He caved in.
He regretted it.
Yeah, and then he was dead, like within a year. Yeah.
The micro blood clotting is horrific.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's listened to this who has been jabbed, I encourage anyone out there to go and get yourselves a D-dimer test. Request your GP. Don't relent.
For God's sakes.
You know? Just get these tests done to see if you've got these micro blood clottings in your system, because then you can actually try and catch it a little bit earlier and do something about it. But, yeah, that's really only all you can do is find out if you've got the damage first of all, because hopefully, luckily enough, you may have been one of the ones that got a placebo. Who knows? But, yeah, definitely find out if you've got some blood clotting, if you've had a vax for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Adam, we're going to have to wrap it up there, mate. I'm going to head off shortly and pick up the kids from school. So, Yeah. But there you go, mate. I know. Again, a lot of that stuff was rehashed, but there was a lot of new information in there as well that we needed to bring up for the listeners. And I've heard you discussing a little bit too. So I wanted to just throw in a few new ones in there as well from Rennick and Roberts that we were talking about, catching up on a few things that we talked about a few years ago as well, but it's even more relevant to this day, and it helps put a few pieces of the puzzle together, I think, too.
I think I found the general on, there was one big one up on LifeSite News, but it has these pharmaceutical reps, executive people and doctors away, they're going to keep going. So it's good. Good to have this in this country. It's good that we're seeing this. So we need to support these guys, and I know UAP under he's doing some really good stuff as well. they're trying to make sure that this never happens again. With these forcing these vaccines on the population.
Yeah, yeah. Protections need to be put in place for us.
I would say to people, buckle up.
Yeah, absolutely. We're already scratching the surface.
Clive Palmer did bring that up, General. No, but we do need a Bill of Rights here in Australia. We don't have. We need some kind of system that will protect us from this. It's crazy. The Americans did a lot better than us.
Yeah.
Talking to them, and they weren't going through anything that we were. And so, you know.
Adam, it's been a bit shitty. Unfortunately, it keeps cutting out now that you're talking. Sorry, can you hear me, buddy? It's sorry to interrupt you, mate, if you were talking there. But it keeps, it's just started to probably do what you were warning about in the beginning. I don't know why. The last probably 5 to 10 minutes, you get a few into the sentence and then it cuts out and it's like a few seconds of blank and we kind of miss it, unfortunately. So I apologize for the listeners out there. Yeah, it's just started to play up a little bit. So we might wrap it up there, buddy, because I hate to think it's going to keep doing it. And it gets a bit frustrating when you're trying to listen to someone. You really want to hear what they're going to say, and then it stops. You're like, damn it, what did he say? So I don't want to put people through that, unfortunately. I will thank you while I've still got you, hopefully before it cuts you off or something. But thanks again, man, for sparing the time to come on for a bit of a chat, mate. It's always good to catch up with you, buddy. Please, people out there, head over to the Kraz Files. That's krazfiles.com. You can go and support Adam and help him over there. You can buy him a coffee as well. I'll put some links in the show notes as well. Adam does a whole heap of extra podcasts and content for his paid members, but also a very good news aggregating website as well. So please go and show him your support over there. It's always a pleasure to have him on. Adam, thanks again, buddy. Adam from the Kraz Files. Been a pleasure, mate.
Thanks, General. Anytime, man.
Cheers.
With a touch of the flu, and I'm kinda skeptical of what he told me to do. He said that I should lock myself inside my room for a year, shut my non-essential business down and cower in fear. I said, Doc, I don't know, that seems so out of line. Give it 3, maybe 4 days, I bet I'll be fine. He said, no, you must not, you must wait for the shot. Everybody's gotta get it or society stops. I said, Doc, I don't know, is that all really true? Shots are brand new, they ain't fully approved. He said, no, you can trust us, it's the latest in science. Never mind the people dying, just give up your compliance. I said, Doc, you must have me mistaken with someone pliable. I can't trust you if none of these companies are liable. So I'm gonna stay the course like a one-way road. Take your vaccine and shove it, I'ma just say no.
Just say no, 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 no. Just say no. Waged on our minds and our bodies and our soul. They ain't looking out for you, it's a scam and it's all about control. So doing what they say won't make it go away, oh no. But they don't know the lengths I'll go. Through rain and snow, I gang so I left the doctor's office and stepped onto the street. Feeling troubled by the lies and campaign of deceit. But I'm not easily defeated, I'm not one to retreat. I tried to make a post about it, they deleted the tweet. Undeterred, I stood on the corner holding a sign. The cops showed up, I got arrested and fined. They told me that my words are considered a crime. Next, they'll be coming for the thoughts in your mind. I knew they were wrong, I took my ticket and left. They're trying to make it difficult for those of us who resist. And with every headline, the propaganda continues. Now they say I'm gonna need a shot to step in a venue. All according to script, going exactly as planned. Next they're gonna wanna put a microchip in our hand. They say conspiracy theory, and that's all that they do. But it isn't just a theory if it keeps coming true.
And that's what I'm gonna just say no, no, no.
Final boss battle, I'm not about to back down, I'm hopping in the saddle. I'm coming at it from
from a different angle like a southpaw. The system is corrupt, so it's good to be an outlaw. I'm rallying the troops, I'm looking for the lions, who know that we will never get more freedom with compliance. If the passports happen, we won't get away with just one. They're gonna make us take a new shot every 6 months. It's only getting worse, every time that we comply more, they take away the rights that our grandparents died for. Time to defy, and let the vibes rise more. Make a better world for our kids, what we strive for. And that means getting rid of all restrictions and masks, saying no to passports and resisting the jab. It's time to kick some dust up like an unpaved road. So join me and Chris Guy and just say no.
Just say no.